It is Monday. This is the news, according to me. Welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. It's Monday, August 1st. First day of the week. First day of the month. First, a lot of firsts today. It's the 400, I think this is the 410th episode, I believe. I'll have to double check on that. So that's not a first, I guess. That wouldn't be a first. Don't get confused by just random information. If you're the kind of person who gets confused by random information, you might want to tune into a different show. This is the 411th show. This is the 411th broadcast of the news, according to me. And that means we've had about four or five shows that have really been good. I'm working on about a 1%. If I can keep it about 1% success rate, that's good enough for me. We have just a whole lot of things on my head this morning. Nothing's written down at all. No notes. No nothing. Not even a word. There's just too many things floating around to rant about this morning. This is the show. If you haven't seen the show before, welcome aboard. This is the news, and of course, it's according to me, which just means it's my take on the news. And I scour the interwebs looking for different podcasters, YouTubers, pundits, television shows, whatever it is. I keep my ear to the ground. That way you can keep your ears clean by not having to put your ear in the ground, because you never know. When you put your ear down on the ground, you just don't know what's been there prior to you doing that. So it gets messy. Let's just put it that way. I do that so you don't have to. And then I just tell you what all's going on and how I compile all this stuff and how it works in my brain. And it's also the show where I tell you that I'm not a doctor or a lawyer or a financial counselor. I'm not an expert in much of anything. I'm not a life coach. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a virologist. I'm not a plumber. However, I have been known to do some plumbing in the past. That's not what I am. I do have a cup, and I know what's in it. That's what I'm going to convey to you right now. The most important part of the show is what's in my cup. I have vanilla chai with Cinnabon creamer. Now, it's been pretty boring lately. Because that's all I've had in here for like the last week and a half. Last week, I don't think I had that going on after, what was it, last Thursday, for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I did not have that in my cup every morning, but I had other things. I had sweet tea. I was down in Atlanta, and I was doing the show on Friday morning, and I believe I heard gunshots outside the hotel, and I was on the 12th floor. But what I heard was, pretty sure it was gunshots. And never heard any sirens or anything, so I'm not sure how that all worked out for everybody. But now I am here. I am back home in my home studio. Not the worldwide headquarters studio. Tomorrow morning's show might be at the world headquarters studio, possibly. But I'm not so sure about that. We'll just have to see how that goes. I do have to be in Birmingham, Alabama tomorrow night. So that's throwing a monkey wrench into my plans here for tomorrow. And I will not get home until late Wednesday evening. So needless to say, I'll be home for a few days. Then after that, I'll be able to do my regular routine there for Thursday and Friday. At least that's what I think. That's my plan. We'll see how it all works out. Lots of things in the news this morning. One of the things that is alarming to me is this whole Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan thing. This administration and these people are so... First of all, Nancy Pelosi's out of her living mind. She's absolutely out of her mind. If you've watched any... Unfortunately, if you've had to watch... If you've been forced to watch any of her recent news conferences, press conferences. She's absolutely out of her mind. This woman is third in line for the presidency. You have to wonder why these dictators and these world leaders right now don't care about anything that's going on in the U.S. I even heard, I think it was Sean Hannity over the weekend, make a comment. Of course, he was commenting while he would ask his guest a question, then he would start making comments and he talks over everybody anyway. But he only asks questions that are pointed where he wants to make a point. That's my pet peeve with Sean Hannity. I appreciate his boldness and his ability to interview people and that kind of thing in terms of calling them out. But then he doesn't have a discussion with them, which maybe you can't. I don't. It's sometimes you just can't have a discussion with them. If you would have seen, if you've ever heard Christopher Wray speak, he's the director of the FBI. There was a guy who got interviewed by Congress. They did this thing where Matt Gaetz, everybody kept kind of alley-ooping over to Matt Gaetz, and Matt Gaetz would slam home. They had all these people, they get like 5 minutes to talk, and everybody was like deferring their time to Matt Gaetz. Or they would start him with a line of questioning, and then he would pass it over. I release my time, or whatever they call it. There's a term that they use. Relinquish my time to Matt Gaetz, and then he would go on from there with more stuff. That's just the game of politics and the way they do things there when they have people called before Congress. Now I don't know. I think this is a a prelude to what we're going to see once the Republicans take office, which. Again, I'm going to say this. If you notice, the Republicans aren't saying much about what they're running on. The only thing that they have to run on is we're not the Democrats. Look at the mess the Democrats have gotten us into, which is enough. Right now, that's enough. Whatever the Republicans are offering cannot be worse than what the Democrats are doing to us, what this administration and the Democrats are doing right now. They have become absolutely out of control and ridiculous. I don't know. They're all talking about who will replace Nancy Pelosi if she retires. Well, is she planning on retiring? Actually, she said she was going to retire if Hillary Clinton would have gotten elected in 2016, she said she was going to retire. Nancy Pelosi has a death grip on her position of power, her seat. I don't believe she has any intention of relinquishing her. Look at Dianne Feinstein. When was the last time you heard Dianne Feinstein make a cogent comment? She is absolutely gone. And she's not being, the media is not covering anything about her right now. She was part of the squad. See, here's how this stuff works. Now you see all these people who are in the squad now, like people like AOC. AOC will probably be Speaker of the House at some point. I don't mean to shock you here. And will probably be in politics for the next 50 years. She's the next Nancy Pelosi. One of these critters that could have come up here in this rank will eventually be in charge. And then the next radical wave of young people will come through, and she'll be the one trying to hold them back. Well, that's just a little too radical. You're the one that escorted in this radical direction. See, it's not about where we are. They're not going to stop. It's like, okay, well, we'll just do this and then we'll have utopia. No, that's not the way it works. They continue on from there. So why is Nancy Pelosi, why are they talking about replacing her now? And apparently Adam Schiff, I didn't catch the drift. I was kind of doing something else when the whole interview thing was going on. Something about Adam Schiff is possibly going to be, he's going to run for Congress and be the Speaker of the House, or is he going to stay in the Senate and be the Speaker of the House? I wasn't sure exactly how that was going to work. You don't have to be a congressman to be the Speaker of the House. I don't know if anybody realizes that. The Congress can elect anybody to be the Speaker of the House. They could elect Donald Trump to be the Speaker of the House. Can you imagine that? Speaking of Donald Trump, let's just go over this a little bit. There are people, there are Trump supporters who are saying, well, I just think, you know, I'd like Trump when he was in office, but I just don't want him to run again. He's got too much baggage. There's too much rhetoric, and he's too divisive. Folks, don't fall for that. This is what the Democrats want you to do. This is exactly playing into their playbook. They don't care what the reason is for getting Trump knocked out of the running. They don't care what it is. They just don't want him there. Their goal is to get you to believe, which they do, that they, because the rhetoric that's out there, the monster that they've created in their heads. If you think that all that energy is just going to go away, if Donald Trump would come out today and say, I'm not going to run in 2024. Well, guess what? The next potential candidate, like Ron DeSantis or whoever it's going to be, would step forward. And guess who the next monster is going to be? Ron DeSantis. Whoever has an R behind their name is going to be the next Hitler, the next fascist, the next person who's going to destroy the economy and get us into a nuclear war. Look at where we are right now with a destroyed economy, and we're on the brink of going to war with China and Russia, all in less than 2 years. This whole thing with Nancy Pelosi, they have mishandled this entire situation with such incompetence. This is the kind of thing. These people are very experienced politicians. They've been around forever. They know what they're doing. Look at all, you know, who else is going to get with this kind of experience? This kind of thing reminds me, that kind of a statement reminds me very much of when I was once about 20 years ago. I was an airline pilot, and I was in a situation where the company was in negotiation with the pilots' union. And we had just negotiated a contract and got it all done, and we got a good contract. And the company wanted to come back because the parent company we were working with, a lot of it had to do with a bankruptcy issue. It wasn't our company that was in bankruptcy, but there was another bankruptcy issue that was being renegotiated. Because of the pricing structure, they wanted to renegotiate and give us a concessionary contract. And they convinced the union, the head of the union, that this was necessary. But that we were going to shut the place down if the airline was going to go out of business if we didn't make these concessions. There was no negotiation. This is it. This is the deal. You either say yes to it or we're shutting the place down. That was basically what they were saying to us, because that's what the union told us. I was saying, no, we're not going to shut the place down. They're not going to shut the place down. And just because they're making this number of millions of dollars, they have to take a cut and not only make this much money. They weren't going to lose money. They were going to just make a whole lot less. If you think they're going to shut the company down because they're only making $10 million instead of making $100 million, oh, gee, I'm only going to make $10 million. I might as well shut it down. It's not worth the $10 million. It's not worth making $10 million in profit. So it was baloney. The union got suckered into it and was pushing it on all of us. And I basically came out after this whole thing fell apart. I said, you know, it may be time for some new union leadership right now. Let's get this head guy out. He's got to go. Well, then, of course, right away, we were the statement came back from that guy. Because that spread like wildfire. Everybody was like, yeah, we got to get rid of this guy. And the union head was basically coming back out and saying, well, you know, right now in these times, there are uncertain times. We need the experience that of the people who are here that to negotiate through these troubled waters, basically is what they were saying. And of course, my first reaction to that just out of my mouth came, it was all their experience that got us to this position in the first place. All that experience did us no good whatsoever. The pilot group should be suing the union. The union was suing the company because of some things that they pulled after that. The whole thing turned out to be a sham. Got us to take this concessionary contract. And they won in arbitration several years later and took a one-time structured they tried to give us a structured settlement. They gave us a one-time payout. It was pennies on the dollar. However, in the process of all this stuff, that whole experience showed me that, and this is the same thing with politicians. We're supposed to believe that the same politicians who got us into this mess are the ones who are going to see us through it. Of course, now they're blaming everybody but themselves. Oh, it's Russia. It's Trump. It was, you know, monkeypox. It's COVID. It's, you know, racism. This is the way they have done everything. They will stir up a mess. I literally saw this on Facebook after. There was this one guy who hated Trump. Kind of surprised, not terribly surprised that he hated Trump, just surprised at some of the rhetoric that came out of his mouth. And he would make these comments. Before the election, he made a bunch of comments after Trump got elected. Oh, we're going to have riots. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. Then after the riots started happening, this is, of course, after COVID broke out, riots started happening. Of course, the stock market came down and all the stuff that you'd expect when you shut down an entire nation and, you know, I don't think Trump would have done that. I think, he was coming out saying, this has never been done before. I just don't know about this. But, you know, Fauci said, this is what we got to do. Fauci was left in charge. Fauci's a leftist, by the way. So, all this happened, and then guess what? The riots that broke out were the Marxist leftists that broke out with the riots. And the economy was crashing. Not because of Trump. He just happened to be in charge. And this guy had the audacity to come out and say, see, I told you, this is what was going to happen. If Trump took office, we're going to have riots. We're going to have this. You don't understand. It's not the Trump supporters that are out there rioting. It's not the people who voted for Trump that are doing this. They're not the ones who are crashing the economy and telling us to stop and shut down. The only states that stayed open were the ones that were not leftists. But it was Trump's fault because he was the president at the time when all this happened. But because the leftists went out and destroyed lives, killed people. And then when someone tried to stand up and defend themselves, they were the criminal. They were the murderer. Now, should he have been carrying it, tactically speaking? Did he choose the right weapon? Did he do the right thing by having a rifle, carrying around a rifle? Probably not. But he was too young to have a concealed carry permit. He couldn't carry concealed. But he could carry a long gun. Everything he did was legal. Going across state lines was not breaking the law. Taking a gun across state lines, going over to kill people, It's not what he was intending to do. He was putting out a dumpster fire, literally. Some guy sets a fire in a dumpster. He lets him set the fire. Doesn't accost him, doesn't stop him, doesn't tell him not to. Just waits till he starts the fire. After he's done starting the fire, he goes over, gets a fire extinguisher, and puts the fire out. Made the guy so mad, the guy who started the fire was so mad, that's when the initial altercation started. I'm trying to damage things and cause a riot here, and you're trying to stop me. You're thwarting it. Didn't stop him from starting the fire. Didn't get in his way. Didn't push him around. Just simply went over and put the fire out after he started it. That's what started the whole thing. By cleaning up this other guy's crime. This mess that the guy started. And all of a sudden the kid becomes the criminal. Because, you know, racism. This is the way the leftists operate. And this is what we have going on right now. All of a sudden it comes out that Nancy Pelosi's talking about going to Taiwan. Next thing you know, China is saying, you go to Taiwan, we will retaliate. Because they claim Taiwan is theirs. And there's this whole one China policy that we've had with them. Supposedly we haven't made any comments about being diplomatically involved or supportive of Taiwan, even though Joe has come out and said, yes, we will respond militarily if Taiwan gets attacked. Oh, that's never been spoken by a commander-in-chief before. So what is our policy on Taiwan now? Did you just unilaterally decide to change it? So now all of a sudden we're supposed to stand up and defend Taiwan because of, I don't know what, because they're a democracy, so we're responsible for that. We're going to send our kids over there. We're going to start this. You know, nuclear weapons, nuclear bombs could be raining down on the earth. And this administration will have, you know, Corrine will be up there. Well, nuclear, this isn't nuclear war. This isn't the definition. This isn't the technical definition of nuclear war. It's like we're not in the technical definition of a recession. Well, that's not the technical definition of a recession. There's a lot more factors. Okay, then give me explain to me then. Let's take just 1 minute. I give you 1 minute to read the technical definition of a recession. Go ahead and give it to me. 2 quarters of GDP retraction is apparently not a technical definition of recession, even though that's been accepted for decades. So go ahead and give it to us then. If that's not it, fill in the blanks on the rest of it. Don't just keep saying that's not the technical definition. We're not going to get into it here. Well, maybe you need to explain it. That's, you know, maybe if you're going to come out and say it's not, then you need to say what is. But that's where we're at today. They just deny, redefine. No, we don't have a border crisis. We have a border challenge. No, we don't have this. We have something else. Don't keep calling it that. Call it this. We're just going to redefine it. And of course, the rest of the media lets them get away with it. Peter Ducey is the only one in there who's making has who, and they treat him like he's on that Peter. Just stop. Why are you doing this? You're so stupid, Peter. I have to explain everything to you. And I'll say this. Sometimes it's taken to an extreme. If you take a step back and say, okay, what are they really, what are we asking here? What's the big deal about this question? But it's these little things. It's these little details that they like to change all the time. They like to revise history as it's happening. See, now Nancy's stuck in this weird position. The only thing that potentially could happen here that could get us out of this mess is if Nancy resigned right now, that would stop the whole thing. Of course, the whole visit to Taiwan thing would be over. You've got people on both sides of the aisle now. The establishment GOP, especially the establishment GOP, they're saying, "Well, she has to go now. She has to go because we can't take these threats from China. We should be allowed to go wherever we want to and talk to whoever we want to." That's the kind of arrogance. You know, you have to deal. We're not dealing with rational, sane people here. This is the people who are running China right now are not rational and sane. They are out of their minds right now. They have got their fingers into so much of the world right now that they think that they are the world leader. China's gonna eat our lunch? Come on, man. That was actually spoken. That was a direct quote from former Vice President Biden. During the election campaign, I think I might have even had that on a sound card. I don't think I have it here. I think I had it on the, let's see here. Yeah, it's not in that one. It could be on, it's not on that side. No, yeah, it's on my, it's at the World Headquarters studio. Yeah, it's not in here. I thought maybe it was. I do have this one, though, was pretty good. This is Joe Biden, one of his more famous quotes.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night.
Yeah. That's somebody who's on the forefront of technology right there. That's somebody who knows what's going on. Yeah. What's the other one that I don't have any others here that are any good. Yeah. China's going to eat our lunch. He made it sound, it was a derogatory comment, like, oh, China's going to eat our lunch? What are you talking about? Yeah, right now, maybe you don't realize that China's got their hands around our throat right now. When you look at BlackRock, you look at this whole ESG thing. Now, this is a weird thing that has happened here and how this has all played out. The ESG score was never meant to be used the way it's being used. People who came up with this ESG score thing, which is the economic and ecological social score. It's like a social score thing. China has the same thing. You can be basically canceled as a business if you have a social score. If you don't post good things on social media, they have their own little social media thing over there. If you don't do things socially, your social score goes down and you are denied privileges, things like being able to travel, what kind of car you can buy, all kinds of stuff goes into this whole thing, what kind of job you will have because of your social score. What's happening here? Oh, it's almost the identical thing, same thing. And we have exactly the same thing in the social media world. If you don't behave, we're going to put you in Facebook prison. This is the kind of stuff that keeps going on. And there seems to be no correlation here between the two. It's like do you not get what's going on here? Where the social media giants, the mega kings who are running the social world, seem to have this faux leadership thing. They're running the country, basically, in absentia. It's like a extension of the government. And they are in cahoots with them. They are in conversation with them. They are telling them, discussing with them how to manage social structures within the internet. This is going on right in front of our eyes, right in front of our face. They're admitting to it. Circle back, Psaki, she said they've been talking to Facebook and Twitter on how to combat misinformation, is what they would call it. Misinformation. Of course, misinformation 1 week would be true information the next week, because you couldn't say it. 1 week you get kicked off, the next week they would, if you get kicked off for saying the other thing. If you said anything about COVID being a something that got away from a lab, you were booted off social media. Now, if you say it came from a wet market, they practically boot you off. It's been accepted now that it came from the lab. Look, there are conspiracies that happen. People conspire quite often, actually. Every day there's people conspire to get things done, whether it's good or bad. That's just the nature of, you know, people get together. And a conspiracy in and of itself is not a bad thing, but conspiring to do something good is not so bad. Conspiring to do something harmful or dangerous or bad is usually what we consider a conspiracy. The conspiracy theory is, here's my theory about what happened there. Doesn't mean it's not true. It just means it's just a theory. I have a theory that this person did that. I have a theory that opposition research was paid for. They made up all these stories and then used that to justify an investigation through the FBI. Here's another thing, folks. The FBI, folks, we have a real problem here. There's talk now among Republicans, some of the more radical ones, of just saying we're going to defund the entire FBI and start over. Here's the problem, and this is exactly what has happened. They get dirt on a politician. This is what they want. They want all this stuff because they can use it later on. They had Hunter Biden's laptop a year before the election. 11 months before the election, they were given this laptop. Now, they might have known about it before then. Christopher Wray, if you ever heard him speak, this is how my mind tends to, when I hear people speak, I have a tendency to be, I'll recognize your voice before I recognize your face. And this guy was called before Congress, and he's one of the people who's in charge of cybersecurity, I believe, or whatever it is at the FBI. Matt Gaetz was just, they were just dumping on this guy. They were just all over this guy. And one of the things he said was, where is Hunter's laptop right now? Well, I don't know about that. He kept asking him questions. Well, I can't make any comments on any investigations or potential investigations. He went so far to say, I can't make comments on any ongoing investigations or potential investigations. He can't even confirm or deny that someone is under investigation. Really? Because James Comey came out before the election and made a big announcement about Hillary Clinton. They were dropping the investigation on Hillary Clinton. And then he came back out and said again, we've reopened, because of this new information, we've reopened the investigation on Hillary Clinton. And then he came out again and said, well, we've dropped the, so apparently you can make a comment about investigations. Apparently you can do that in a press, you know, you can make an independent press conference, not even before Congress. Just go out and say it. Apparently that can be done. It's not illegal to do that, apparently. You just don't want to. You're just hiding behind that. They use this all the time. They will investigate someone or they can't confirm or deny that there's an investigation going on. Well, so if there is an investigation but if you ask them, is President Trump under investigation? No. Well, you just confirmed he's not under investigation. So how can you say that? So they hide behind this all the time. Now, the big question that they had for him was, is President Biden compromised because of Hunter Biden and all the stuff that was going on? Now, they know the answer to that question. They're trying to get him to admit to it. I can't make any comments on any investigations or anything that's a potential investigation. I can't make that determination. Now, if you listen to this guy speak, this is a phenomenon that is very, very interesting. It's if a person hangs around with another person that they look up to, that's kind of their leader, who they follow almost to, not necessarily to a cultic extent, but it's almost like a cultic following, a strange thing begins to happen. They start to speak like the other person. Their cadence, their timbre in their voice, the way they laugh. That they begin to take on these traits themselves. If you hear this guy speak and you didn't see the video, if you just heard his voice, you would think it was Christopher Wray speaking. This guy spends a lot of time with Christopher Wray. And he is basically one of his little proteges. First time I heard Christopher Wray speak, this is when McCabe was on his way out. And Christopher Wray was on his way in. He was being groomed. It was very obvious to me that Christopher Wray was learning the ropes, learning how to go through the investigation, you know, the interviews with Congress, making statements. I heard he himself made the statement. I gotta fix this chair. That's not the statement he made. Maybe he's made that statement in the past. He's probably had a chair he had to fix. This chair makes the weirdest squeaks sometimes. But Christopher Wray made the statement, Antifa is not an organization, it's just an idea. Seriously, it's not an organization. You're gonna feed us that line there. Because they haven't filed any paperwork, I guess. I don't know. This is what we're left with for law enforcement in the upper echelon of the Federal Bureau of Investigations. They hang on to this laptop, don't do anything with it. It's got damning information from who knows where. Jeffrey Epstein, the Lolita Express and the island, all the people who've been there, Glenn Maxwell, charged with human trafficking, child abuse, whatever she always, I don't know what kinds of charges she was charged with. Did she do all the, apparently she was the only one who did the abuse, because nobody else was charged with any crimes at all. None of her clients, if you will, were charged. There's a little black book with all this information in it, and the FBI has it, and guess what? We'll never probably find out what's in it. But any of those people step up to do anything, to say anything. Now, see, the problem is they won't defund the FBI because the FBI has all the dirt on all these politicians who want to defund them. That's never going to happen. Well, if you try to defund us, we're going to splatter this all over the campaign. We're going to bring all this information. Whether it's true or not, doesn't matter. Same thing happened with Donald Trump. We have this dossier. James Comey goes into the Oval Office of all places. This is the kind of information that's out there. We just want to let you know this kind of information that's out there. We have this information, and you know, this could damage you. We're here to protect you. We're gonna, you know, this is like the thug that comes into your store and says, "Hey, you give me $100, I'll protect your store here." No, I'm not gonna pay. I'm not gonna pay the $100. Well, then we're gonna destroy your store. Basically, you're paying the criminal up front to not criminalize your store. To not commit the crimes against you. They're the ones that are going to commit the crime. It's like a thug coming in and saying, you know, if you pay me $500, I won't rob you. Oh, okay. Here's the $500. Thanks. It's exactly what they're doing. It's exactly what the FBI is doing. It's a shakedown. It's a matter of control. And then when they need something in their budget, guess what? Oh, we need some more money over here. Oh, yeah, well, that's like, just whatever you need. Whatever you need, your law enforcement. Because, you know, let's play the Star Spangled Banner. While they write the check out. We'll play the Star Spangled Banner. It's all about, though, yes, we got truth, justice, and the American way. Here you go. Here you go. There's your money. Now, you don't think this is happening. You're sadly mistaken. James Comey goes into the president's office and does this to him. Of course, then gets fired. I don't think Donald Trump wanted anybody to know what was going on with James Comey. I think he realized that James Comey was the slipperiest snake in the brood of vipers there. Got rid of him. Yeah, he's going away. Of course, James Comey then goes out and gives his notes in this confidential meeting with the president, which would be considered a security breach. Gives his notes then of the meeting to a, which probably already pre-typed before he went, even went in the meeting, to a friend of his to give to the media. I didn't feel like it was right for me to give it directly to the media, so I gave it to my friend and he gave it to the media. You gave it to him with the intent of giving it to the media. What's the difference? The intent is there. But he's Mr. Ethical. He teaches ethics at Harvard, or wherever he teaches, whatever Ivy League it is. So he can work his way around those kinds of things. He can sleep at night fine because he's got it all figured out. Got this web of ways of doing things. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. And this is where we are with the whole Hunter laptop thing. They've gone from saying, oh, no, 50 people, 50 former CIA and intelligence officers signed off on this thing saying that it was, they were very careful about the way they said it, has all the earmarks of a Russian misinformation campaign, disinformation, whatever you want to call it. Where are those people now? Have any of them apologized now that it has come out that this has actually been validated as being correct information? The Russian boogeyman theory, which always comes out, oh, it's Russia. That must be a Russian plot. It's still being thrown around, still being bannered around by some news organizations, even from this administration. Well, you know, the Russians, that's all disinformation. None of it's true. Hunter was asked directly, is that your laptop? It could be my laptop. I don't know if it is or not. I don't know if it's my laptop or not. Well, okay, are those your pictures and are those your emails on the laptop? Let's just ask the direct question of, is that you? Are those pictures of you doing those things that you're doing? Are those actual pictures of you? Or are those just, you're going to say that they're photoshopped? I don't know if they might have photoshopped me. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't have any recollection of that. And they let him get away with that. He just walks out of the interview like, oh, okay, well, he's not sure if it's him or not. And you think that this administration, you think this DOJ is going to go, regardless of what kind of, there needs to be like 15 special counsels. And they all need to be by people who are straight up. Now, this whole thing with John Durham, I don't know what's going on with this. I'm really not very sure. In fact, I just don't know. And I'm not sure exactly what's going on with the John Durham thing. I've been trying to follow this, and I'm not sure it makes any sense. Bill Barr, oh, thanks, Bill, has also come out and said, well, maybe there needs to be a special counsel involving Hunter Biden laptop. Now, I want you to be aware of something here. Why does Bill Barr all of a sudden now come out and say this, like as if he's relevant about anything? Bill was in charge. Bill could have issued a special counsel for the Hunter Biden laptop when the FBI had the laptop. Bill, Bill Barr's, he's an establishment hack. That's what he is. Let's just call him what he is. Now he's written a book and did his little book tour, went on all the news organizations and was talking about all the stuff. And so now he's selling his books, and now he's back out there on the scene. Doesn't like Donald Trump. Has made all kinds of derogatory comments about the guy. And look, it's not about, again, I tell you, it is not about Donald Trump and the way he is. That's not why he was elected. Obviously, the country is willing to elect, I guess, a bumbling buffoon if they can get what they want. This is the whole point of electing Donald Trump. Most of the electorate, most of the people who voted for Donald Trump wanted to vote for somebody who was not a politician, who was not in the establishment, who was not part of the game. One of the biggest critics of Donald Trump initially, before the election in 2016, about a year before the, maybe about a year ago from now, since the Democrats have stepped back into office, all of a sudden, I think it was less than a year ago, I think Joe was in office for about a year, and this guy writes this article, which is like the end of last year or the beginning of this year. He understood that the whole point of electing Donald Trump was the nation's way of, this is his words, giving the finger to the establishment in Washington. They just wanted to say, you're not in charge anymore. The game has got to end. And guess what? Things didn't happen the way they, oh, the stock market's going to crash. We're going to have nuclear bombs falling out of the sky. The economy's going to go into a depression. Of course, they wouldn't be allowed to redefine it. Now, I don't know, getting back to this whole conspiracy issue, I don't know about you, but putting together all the things that went into place, we start cracking down on China. We start holding them to account. We start making it tough on their economy. We hold them to some trade tariff issues and trade deficit issues. We start educating the population on what's going on here between the United States and China and what they're doing. Oh, all of a sudden, election year's coming up. A prominent Democrat within the House, the highest paid politician, highest paid person in government, by the way, gets paid more than the president, Anthony Fauci, steps up to the plate. All of a sudden, he becomes, how are we going to get this guy in charge of the country? Well, here's how we do it. Oh, by the way, Anthony is invested in the Wuhan lab. By the way, Anthony Fauci's been involved in redefining, notice the trend here, what gain-of-function research is. Well, guess what? All of a sudden, a virus breaks out in Wuhan. And guess what? You can travel to and from Wuhan from any place in the world except from within China. You can't do that. You can't travel from Wuhan into the interior of China. You can't travel from China to Wuhan. You can't travel there. But you can go to Italy. You can go to the United States. You can go to Europe. Any place in the UK. All that stuff. You can just travel wherever you want to in and out of Wuhan. And the other little town that was there. Little town. You know, a couple million people. So you can all of a sudden travel. And all of a sudden this virus breaks out all over the world, for which there is no vaccine. We need to shut down the economy. Everybody needs to shelter in place for 2 weeks to flatten the curve. This is after he tells us No, this isn't something we need to worry about. And nobody should be walking around wearing masks. It might save you from a droplet. It's not going to matter. Going from that to, yeah, you probably should be wearing a mask. And, you know, you putting on a second mask, you know, it only makes common sense that a second layer. So we went from no mask to wearing two masks. Because this guy's an expert. This guy's like 80 years old. He's been studying all of his life. It's not like he's some teenager kid that just came out with some theories. This guy's supposed to be the expert. He's getting paid more than anybody else in Washington. He's going to retire, by the way. If he retires at the end of Biden's term, which he's talking about, he will have the highest retirement package, government-paid package, of any politician ever in the history of this country. Thank you for your service to your country here, Anthony. And don't mention it. Okay, yeah, because you don't care. It's close to $500,000 a year. Now, if you don't see the kind of ironic thing that happened here, and why it's potentially, this will be considered a conspiracy theory. I have a theory that something that they conspired to do this to the country. And see, they've been wanting, the globalists have been wanting this for quite some time. The people like Bill Gates, all the George Soroses of the world, all these people who are the kings, if you will, who control the capital in the world, the rich oligarchs of the world. They've been looking forward to this great reset for quite some time. When you have a global event like this, this is their opportunity. They have to seize the power that they need. Look at Justin Trudeau and what's happening up in Canada right now. Coming out of the global pandemic, he still has the pandemic authority up there. They shut down the trucker protest. They're stopping the sale and export and import or transfer of any handguns in Canada. All the things that the globalists have wanted for a long time, they want to crack down on all this stuff. Lauren Boebert said it, said it the best of anybody. She said, once they take away your guns, you're no longer a sovereign citizen, period. That's a statement that is absolutely true. You know, you are just a serf now. You have some negotiating power to some extent, because they're not nearly as afraid of you anymore as they were. And you don't think that they'll crack down on you with military power. I actually said this one time. This is back in the 90s. But one of my employees at the time was in the military. And this is kind of a big anti-government stuff going on. A lot of anti-government stuff was going on. People were arming themselves more, buying long arms. And long guns. I'm talking about going up against the government and a tyrannical government, that kind of thing. He said, well, if you think you're going to go up against the government, you know, the military is going to come down on you. Like, really, this is somebody in the military doesn't understand posse comitatus at all. If you think you're going to turn your guns on your own citizens, your own family, if you think that's an acceptable thought in your head, you need to get out of the military now. If you think you're going to protect, this is the whole thing about January 6th. These people were believing that they were saving democracy. They were saving the country, the republic. They were saving the Constitution. They were saving the principle of law. That was what was in their head. It wasn't about, we need Donald Trump as our dictator. It was about our freedoms were just taken away, or they were just stolen. And we're going to fight back. This government's out of control. Now, they were not going in there armed, as Liz Cheney would have you believe. He sent an armed mob from the ellipse up there where he was making a speech. He made his speech and he sent an armed mob down to the Capitol. The mob was already at the Capitol when he was making his speech, first of all. Secondly, what arms exactly were taken away from people that were in the Capitol building? And what about Ray Epps and his coaching, who never went in the Capitol building, by the way? He's downtown the night before saying, we need to go into the Capitol. We have to go into the Capitol. And then he gets there and he's whispering into the ears of people who go in. They start to attack soon after, within seconds after talking to these kids, they start attacking the guards. But Ray Epps never went into the Capitol. And now he is some kind of victim in this whole thing. It's just destroyed his life the way these right-wing crazy people, these Trump supporters, have come after him. You were wearing a MAGA hat the night before. On January 5th, you were wearing a MAGA hat downtown with a backpack on saying you need to go into the Capitol. And all of a sudden now you're Mr. Innocent Man. And nobody wants to talk about you. You were on the FBI's most wanted list and then all of a sudden disappeared from that. Because, you know, the FBI is fine, upstanding, you know, group of individuals. Now, I will give you this. After saying all this stuff, and I know it's Monday, I'm hitting you with all this junk. Let me just say this. There is coming an account, folks. There will be a day of reckoning. There will be a judgment day. And you have the opportunity, you know, these people out here who are doing this kind of stuff, Hillary Clinton, all these people who've done all these nefarious things, they have the opportunity right now to repent, to come clean. And I believe they need to confess before the nation and come clean before the nation, because everything that they've done has publicly affected lives. In some cases, people have lost their lives because of these, what the statements that these people have made and the policies that they've had and the things that they've done, the lies that they've told. These lives have died. People have lost their lives in vain because of what these people have said. And there's blood on their hands. Now, they can publicly confess and repent. And I believe there is grace for them. I believe there is mercy for them. And in fact, I think this nation would forgive them. You'd never be in politics again, but the nation would forgive you. This is a very forgiving nation. It's unbelievably so. The woke mob will not forgive you. You can give up on that. The only way they'll forgive you is if you go along with, bend down to what they want, their agenda. But you have the choice of either doing that now, all of you upper-ranked FBI individuals. You can either confess and repent now of what you know is wrong. You know the manipulation and the games you're playing. You can either do that now, and God may have mercy on your soul. Or you can stand before God and try to argue your case with Him. Because you will pass away. And you will stand before Him. And you can play the Star Spangled Banner in the background. You can play whatever you want to do. All this, I'm doing humanity a service here. I'm serving humanity. I'm saving the democracy. They don't say the democracy. They say their democracy, which we don't even have. So I'm saying all this because there is hope for these people. But they better come clean. And I don't think they will. Because a lot of these people who invoke the name of God several times a day, their little speeches, I don't believe that they actually believe there is a God. That's my opinion. They'll invoke His name, they'll say things occasionally. Look at Nancy Pelosi. I'm very Catholic. I'm an extreme Catholic, Catholicist. Oh, but abortion is a woman's right to choose. That's funny because the Catholic Church doesn't believe that's one of their main tenets, the Catholic Church. Well, that's, you know, I'm going to impeach the Pope. The Pope needs to be impeached. kind of where they're at. Got a lot of long week ahead of us, folks. I'll be here for you, ranting and raving, drinking my chai. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Take care.